I was most astonished. You mean California? Aren't you going to stay for the wedding? I thought you were to be best man.
Simon will have to get someone else. I can't miss this chance. I've been offered a partnership in a ranch. Got the cable today. They need me at once.
Just then we saw Rose and Simon coming out of the ballroom, obviously looking for us.
Don't mention it, will you? Said Neil quickly. I want to break it to Mother before I tell the others. She isn't going to be pleased.
The music started again soon after Rose and Simon joined us. She turned to Neil and said in a really nice voice, "Will you dance this with me?" I saw then that she'd been right in thinking it was hopeless to be friends with him. For a moment, I thought he would actually refuse to dance. But in the end, he just said, "Sure, if you want me to." Quite politely, but without a flicker of a smile, and they went off together, leaving me alone with Simon. We talked first about Rose. He was worried in case so much shopping had tired her. "I wish we could be married at once and get out of London," he said, "but both she and Mother insist I'm waiting for the trousseau." I had thought myself that Rose seemed a little less alive than usual, but nothing like so tired as he himself did. He was paler than usual, and his manner was so quiet, it made me care for him more than ever. I wanted so terribly to be good to him. Then Simon said, "It's odd how that dress changes you. I don't know that I approve of your growing up." "Oh, I shall get used to it." He smiled at me, "but you were perfect as you were." It was the funny little girl he had liked, the comic child playing at Midsummer Rites. She was the one he kissed. Though I don't think I shall ever quite know why he did it. Rose and Neil came back when the music stopped. We went back to the flat. There was a message from Stephen for me. I had quite forgotten he was going to telephone. Rose read aloud, "For Miss C. Mortmain from Mr. S. Colley. The gentleman asked to say he was completely at your service if required." "I do call that a nice message," said Simon. "Hadn't we better call him back?"
"Oh, leave it till the morning," said Rose.
Just then, Topaz came out of her bedroom and said she wanted to speak to me. Topaz took me up to the roof garden. "You never know if you're going to be overheard in that flat," she said. We sat down on a large swinging seat. "Has Mortmain shown the slightest sign of needing me?" she asked me. I tried to think of a tactful way to say no. Fortunately, she went straight on. "I've got to be needed, Cassandra. I always have been. Men have either painted me or been in love with me or just plain ill-treated me. But one way or another, I've always been needed. I've got to inspire people, Cassandra. It's my job in life." I told her then that I had a faint hope that Father was working.
"Do you mean I've inspired him by keeping away from him?"
We both roared with laughter. Topaz's sense of humor is intermittent, but good when it turns up. When we had calmed down, she said, "What do you think of Aubrey Fox Cotton?" "Not much," I said. "Does he need inspiring? He seems to be doing pretty well as it is."
"He could do greater work. He feels he could."
"You mean, if you both got divorces and married each other?"
"Well, not exactly," said Topaz.
I suddenly felt it was an important moment, and wondered what on earth I could say to influence her. Inspiration came to me.
"You can't leave Father," I said. "Oh, Topaz, don't you see that whether he misses you or not, a shock like that might wreck him completely? Just imagine his biographer writing, 'Mortmain was about to start on the second phase of his career when the faithlessness of his artist model wife shattered the fabric of his life. We shall never know what was lost to the world through this worthless young woman.'" She was staring at me. I could see I was making a magnificent impression. She said in her most double-bass tones, "Cassandra, you have saved me from a dreadful mistake. Thank you. Thank you.
Then she collapsed on my shoulders with such force that I shot off the swinging seat.